0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get ready to leave domestic football behind for the international break, but not quite yet. Matt O'Reilly says someone was due a doing from Celtic and now hopes to take that clinical side into Europe. Cyril Dessers is now feeling more confident as a Rangers player, he says, after scoring at the weekend. And the Scotland camp are looking to end the campaign on a high despite qualification already being secured. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you've got Gordon DL and Jim Duffy. And Gordon, it is never a quiet weekend in Scottish football. I suspect you two will still be dealing from the after effects of a busy weekend and, of course, onto an international break where we can sit back and relax.
Never a dull moment, you've got to say. I really enjoyed my weekend of football. Plenty to talk about, Gordon. Looking forward to international break, obviously, and how Scotland are going to do. But I think all the talking points are at the weekend. Terrific performance from Celtic, you've got to say. Great bounce back from that disappointing midweek 6-0 defeat over in Spain. Rangers cruised against Livingston. Good result for Hearts, needed. Bad result for my team Motherwell, struggling. And obviously David Martindale, can he keep doing it season after season? Bought my league, but he's not fazed by it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it was good to see that, you know, Matt O'Reilly coming out and, you know, talking about Celtic's performance, you know, and, you know, Matt O'Reilly's been exceptional. He's been a shining light right throughout the campaign and amongst some other players. Obviously, Lewis Palmer as well, I thought was terrific for Celtic at the weekend. They scored some outstanding goals and also that exquisite set-up pass from Palmer with outside his right foot. So nonchalant and just you know, a joy to watch. I think that's when you know you're expressing yourself, when you're in total control of the game. And again, you know, Rangers, very good performance, particularly in the first half. And I think that's the only wee thing that I think that Philip Clement will be looking at. Can Rangers sustain these periods for a bit longer? Mm-hmm. Sparta Prague, similar, maybe about 60 minutes and then started to tail off. A wee bit similar on Saturday. And I think that's when he needs that squad strength. So is it when it gets around about that hour mark, when he changes it, the tempo stays the same, or if anything, can intensify again. But overall, both Glasgow clubs, terrific performances, both clean sheets, plenty of goals and plenty of goal action as well.
Come on then, it's 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight? I feel like last night was extremely busy. There were so many big talking points or you know, controversial moments for the weekend, whether it was VAR decisions, ones given, not given, Kyogo's head knock. We spent a lot of time on that sort of stuff last night. So if you couldn't get through and you've still got more to add, why not do that? Or maybe the second day on, maybe this is a chance to actually talk a bit more about the football and the performance and who was good and who wasn't and how you feel going into this international break. Because I suppose this is always a good opportunity for teams to kind of take stock, isn't it? You know, you get to this point in the season, you do have a break, you've played a good number of games, so you kind of know where you're at. I mean, nothing's won or lost, but you've got a good idea of where you're at and what you need to improve on.
Yeah, I think players, managers, and sometimes directors as well, and owners take stock at this time of the year.
Players are on the beach, maybe if they get a few days, but well, some managers will.
Sometimes they do if they're not involved in a national setup. But as I said, I think fans, you know, especially now with social media, they'll look at where their club is, what the starting ambitions were at the start, you know, the start of the season, whether they're anywhere close to that, whether they've matched or overachieved or underachieved. And as I mentioned, owners and directors as well sometimes look. That's why it's always the kind of dangerous time for managers running about the kind of December Christmas period, because if it's not going to the, you know, the level of expectations set out at the start, then a new manager comes in and they get the January window to try and, you know, get players in and implement their style. So there's a lot at stake just now. You're absolutely right. It's a crucial time with this little break coming up for the international matches. And as Gordon said, there's some clubs, we spoke about Motherwell there just a wee while ago, started brilliant, but just seem to have just fell off a cliff in the last few weeks.
I feel like this is an important junction, Gordon, and hopefully that's why fans will phone up and let us know how they're feeling going into this break and what they made of the big talking points at the weekend. We do have a winter break, but we've got so many games between now and then. By the time you get there, you always say things aren't won and lost. I'm not saying you know that it is the case, but you can have done yourself a good bit of damage if you get this next section of games wrong.
Oh, you could do yourself a lot of damage. I think the international break comes, you know, good for some clubs. You look at Livingston, Ross County, cannot buy a win. Motherwell, cannot buy a win. It gives them that period of time just to settle everything down, take a deep breath, go and work in different things in the training ground. They've had plenty of time to do that and then hopefully bounce back. If you're St Johnstone, Craig Levein, it's come at the worst time. They're on a terrific run.
Or though, will managers like him not welcome the chance to get a bit of time?
No, I think momentum's everything in the game. I think you're looking forward as a centre forward. You've not scored in 10 goals. You bang a couple of goals in the next two games. You don't want a break to go and practice your finishing. You want to be back on that pitch scoring goals. But I think that come January, I think we'll have a real picture of where everybody is. And I think there's a few teams right now are worrying.
Right, come on. 01419511025. The international breaks more than ever. It's up to you. Maybe you see this as a quiet time to ask something a bit different. But if we are talking about the here and now, what did you make of the weekend? If you want to revisit some of the big talking points from last night, you couldn't get through on VAR decisions, refereeing calls, head knocks, injuries, all the rest of it, we are here for you. Maybe it's a chance, because we didn't do it that much last night, to reflect on the actual football element and the performance levels and so on, and how your team arrives into this international break. Are you in a good place? Are you not? What do you hope your team's working on over the next couple of days? Big weekend for Scotland, regardless of the fact that qualification is secured. Still would be nice to end on a high, so we can get to all that stuff later on. But in the meantime, if you want to phone about that or anything else, it's 01419511025. Of course, as always, you can tweet us, you can get in touch over there on social media, but I prefer it the old-fashioned way. Give us a call and let us know what you are thinking tonight. I think Scotland have gone for some warm weather training in Turkey and it's raining. Your heart bleeds for them.
it's raining here as well.
It's certainly raining here, that's for sure.
But we won't recognise some of them when they come back.
Although, new hair and new teeth all round. Just to get looking good for the Euros.
Oh yeah, you got to.
Listen, it is an important match for Scotland. I think, you know, we said the campaign was magnificent. And then, you know, the last three games, albeit the opposition is of top quality. But you want to get back to your winning ways again, you know, and just settle everything down again. It's great to see Lorne Shacklin getting an opportunity again. I think a lot of people, you know, were a bit surprised, even though Stevie Clark tends to, you know, stick by his tried and trusted group of players have done so well for him. But I think Shacklin, when we don't have an abundance of natural strikers, is the one natural striker we do have. So for him to get in, even though a little bit by default, and he's on really good form as well. He had a wee sticky spell, but he's like all goal scorers. He's found a way to the back of net again, two goals at the weekend. So listen, I'm delighted for Lorne Shackland, and hopefully he gets an opportunity to get on the pitch.
Okay, 01419511025. Brian is first through tonight. How's it going, Brian?
Hello, guys. How you doing?
All good here. Good, Brian. What you got for us? What are you thinking?
Well, bruises and smiles. Right, bruises for the game against Europe, 6-0. And then we played against an Aberdeen team that had come down and gave Rangers a bit of a bloody nose. And they'd done well in Europe themselves. But when we came back on Sunday, and it was a point proven. I really do hope that wee Hugh is listening. Because
oh, he will be, don't you worry.
Well, Hugh, well done, son. You actually put Aberdeen's 6 goals in for them yourself with your silly wee comments in the comic that he writes in. Guys, it's got to be understandable that where a grown man and a pundit like you is making so many mistakes and a million mistakes, it's become the national treasure's joke, you know?
Good to see it's not got to you though, Brian.
Hold on. Celtic will lose the league and Brendan will be looking at situations vacant. That's unbelievable after the kind of seasons that he's watched. He's watched us. But Philip Clement is the new charge.
Yeah, but don't forget, Brian, don't forget, Rangers fans say that this is all reverse psychology from Hugh and he actually secretly wants Celtic to win and this is all some sort of ruse to help that happen.
I know, but I'm worried about my wee pal. I'm worried about his mental health.
Oh, he'll be fine. Aye, Brian, come on. Keep it. That's not polite. That's not in the spirit of what we do. I'll slag you as much as anybody, but keep it fair.
Aye, but wait, so what I want to talk about is the kind of football that we saw on Sunday. We done to Aberdeen what basically what Atletico done to us, except, I mean, like if Maeda's no sent off, which it shouldn't have been, we'd maybe have got a wee run on it. Now look at the Man United, the Newcastle, they're spending hundreds of millions in the exact same like position as we are in Europe. So what I was saying to the guys on the producer there, I was saying, we need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to get out of this being the best in Scotland is enough. And it doesn't mean that we go and do the Man United's or the Newcastle United's and all that and lose all that money, you know, and just say, it's okay, we'll do that again next year, because we won't. But we certainly need to be picking up players. Like, look at Palmer. Palmer didn't cost too much, but he was a player that came from Greece. He was a player that had already been in a higher league, and he was not a project. He was, this boy's a player. Do you know what I mean?
Is that the case, though? Because I do feel like, give it a ropey night in Europe, and he will be labelled a project. That's just... And it's interesting, you know, the food chain element. Brian says, okay, you know, Atletico can do that to Celtic because they have more money. Celtic can do it to Aberdeen because they have more money. And I know everyone waxed lyrical about Luis Palma, and rightly so, but I'm pretty sure he'll have been labelled a project at some point this season, and he probably will again.
I think it's too easy just to throw the dollar signs down there and say that's the difference. Copenhagen, for instance, beat Manchester United, you know, so Copenhagen probably are less budget than Celtic, you know, so you know, you can't always just say, well, because someone's had more money or because they play in a better league. You know, Celtic have got to do better in Europe. I take everything away. I'm talking about, you know, not just this campaign and previous campaigns. We're not saying they can go to Madrid and the Metropolitan and win, but they've got to be more competitive. There's no question about that. And I think they've got to change, you know, how they approach the games a little bit. In terms of, you know, the weekend against Aberdeen, listen, they were exceptional. They were a joy to watch, you know, and they scored some great goals. They were expressive. They had, you know, they scored six, could have scored another three or four. Kayla Roos had a few good saves. So, you know, they were different class domestically. But you have to be able to adapt your game when you go from competition to a higher competition. And I think Celtic still go in almost with the same mindset. Like, we can take the game to the likes of Atletico Madrid, Lazio, these type of things. At Parkhead, Celtic Park, I think is different. There's a different atmosphere. There's a, you know, I know the record's not great, but I think the games will be more competitive. But I think away from home, there has to be a more pragmatic, way of trying to go about the game.
Funny you should say that, Jim. And I think everybody looking at the game outside Celtic Park would probably agree with you in what you're saying. But you look at Brendan Rodgers' first time, Postecoglou, Brendan Rodgers now, they don't tend to, you look the other night there, I was astonished, and Brendan Rodgers, top manager, I'm not sitting here criticizing, but I was astonished, second half, they just lost a goal at half time, they come out in the second half, and he goes two up top, away from home, down to 10 men, against a quality side, and I don't know what his thinking was behind that. But everybody would have thought, oh, he'll try and just shore it up. He'll try and just get out of there, maybe a two or a three, and then, you know, lick his wounds. But all credit, I thought that on Sunday, there was a lot of Celtic fans going along there expecting payback. And I thought Celtic's football on Sunday was absolutely brilliant. They got off to a great start. Yang, obviously. O'Reilly is playing at the top of his form. You know, they've got players there just with absolute quality. And they basically played Aberdeen off the pitch. You can criticise Aberdeen all you want, but sometimes when the team that you're playing against is just too good on the day, you try, just hold your hands up and move on.
Brian, he's been in touch. He sent me a message.
Oh, goodness.
He says, tell Brian, I wish him a Merry Christmas.
I will see.
There we are. He's a good old soul, I'll tell you that. Let's hear from Matt O'Reilly. Gordon mentioned him. He says the emphatic win over Aberdeen came as no surprise because he felt a domestic side were due a doing from Celtic. He says it's now time, as we've been discussing, to try and take that clinical side to the European stage.
Perfect response, I think, to a midweek. I think a result like that was pending, to be honest, in the league. Put enough good performances in. I think it was time we, you know, with the utmost respect, like, just gave someone a real doing. You know, a lot of chances created, and I think could have been more. Our approach is always the same. Some days you get, I don't know, a little bit more lucky than others in front of goal. You know, sometimes I think early goals against teams like this, five at the back, who try to stop you, kills their game plan, you know. Score one, score two, they have to come out a little bit, we get more space, and I think that ruthlessness is something we can definitely take into Europe as well. Tuesday wasn't obviously fun for anyone, but Champions League games are always very difficult when you have 10 men on the pitch as well, naturally, especially against top teams. I think if we did have 11, it would be a very different game. I know it's like in hindsight, but I genuinely believe that. Showed that at home for the majority of the game that we are able to go toe-to-toe with them. I don't think you should ever lose a game 6-0, but at the same time, I think we're more than capable of playing at that level. And we've got two games and we've still got a chance, so we'll give it our all.
But that will just remain the challenge. You know, it's almost begs the question of, like, can you just, is it possible? You know, and Matt Riley says, just, you know, take that clinical side to Europe. If the opposition level is just so different, like,
past
can
results showing that they can't take that. You know, the level that it showed in Sunday to Europe, you can go back to.
I was going to, you know, to sort of explain that point better. I don't know if it's Copenhagen or whatever, right? But there will be teams similar to Celtic somewhere who are their best team domestically, but they're probably not as dominant as Celtic are. But yet, maybe just something, I don't know, stylistically allows them to go and.
I think that's what Jim was trying to point out. You know that you know, maybe a different approach in Europe, but I keep going back to it. If Brendan Rodgers first time, Postecoglou's, and Brendan Rodgers second time ain't going to do that, then they think that the way forward and for Celtic to progress is keep going the way they're going. Now, what they would have taken was a lot of heart out of probably the first half performance against Atletico Madrid at Celtic Park, where everybody agrees. I thought probably one of their best nights. They were absolutely fantastic. But it's doing that consistently. It's doing that away from home as well against the big teams. And they seem to be struggling just now at that.
See, but my view, Gordon, is that if you've got the same players that are playing from one season to the next, and sometimes into the same manager, then you can maybe use it as an education. Can you say, okay, we'll use these games so that next year when it comes round, we're all much better attuned to what's required. But Celtic could say, like, say, Yang, Palmer, obviously, you know, newer guys is coming in, a slightly different way of playing than under Postecoglou, from Brendan Rodgers' point of view. But there was, you know, similarities that, you know, again, Liam Scales has come in, the you know, Starfelt and all these kind of guys have moved on. So there's always changes, and that for me is always going to be the case. You know, you're likely to lose players. If they're good, they'll move to the Premiership or somewhere like to be for mega bucks, and if they're not so good, you've moved them out. So invariably you're tweaking your squad anyway. But listen, it's Brendan Rodgers' way, it's his style, there's no doubt about it. He's not going to change because somebody like me suggests it. It's not, I mean, you get into the next two games, Celtic will play 4-3-3. They'll be positive, they'll try and take the game to the opposition, and that's his approach to it. So that's not going to change. But you mentioned the other own, some of the other clubs that have competed in Europe, and I do think there's a different mindset. Maybe the fan base and all that stuff will accept them sitting 9-10 players behind the ball and having a low block and things like that, whereas maybe Celtic fans don't want their team to play like that. We'll have to ask them, the Celtic fans, are they happy? Would they, you know, change their style if it meant being a little bit more competitive in Europe?
It's a good time to call, whether it's that or something different. Rangers fans, Livy fans want to reflect on that at the weekend. How do fans of all teams feel you're arriving at this break? That old cliche, does it come at a good time or a bad time? Whatever that means, you can answer it as applicable to your team. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch, and please do. Mark is a Celtic fan in Johnston. How's it going, Mark?
Yeah, not too bad.
Just before the break, we heard Matt O'Reilly, Mark, saying, you know, somebody was due a doing, and hopefully Celtic can translate some of that into European competition. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it was in response to the comment about how we should play away from home. Having been at a few of the games at Parkhead over the years where we've received quite bad results, PSG, Bayern, recently Atletico, we do need to change the way we play away from home. Not all the games that we have lost in Europe have been against the big names. We've also lost against what we'd call teams that we should be getting a result against. We accept that sometimes we do go for it at Parkhead, but we cannot play the same way at Parkhead as we do away from home. It's proven that we can't do it. Celtic have hit a glass ceiling in the Scottish game. They can only attract a certain level of player because of the league that we're in. So therefore, when we go away from home and because of the level of the game that we have in Scotland, we struggle to make that step up, and we don't have the players that can do it sometimes. And we won't ever have the players that will compete at that level in Europe. So we do need to do something with the tactics. And we've suffered over the years because of the tactics. Teams have sat in and hit us on the break. And it's about time that we can adopt some of that sometimes. Yeah, it's not the Celtic way. But it's not the Celtic way to get 6-0 and 7-1 and all the rest of it over the years. That can be quite a sore one. It can be quite embarrassing. So, yeah, I do think we do need to change the tactics away from home.
I feel like if we're talking specifically on that, and I feel like we've been transported back a week, I don't really think we need to debate the red card and Dyes and Maeda or the impact it had, but it does feed into this. Not for one second saying Celtic get anything out of the game or even close, but it would probably allow you to at least get a better sense. Like, because clearly we're not having this level of soul searching about glass ceilings and all that. If that game ends 3-0, still a defeat, you can't celebrate it, but it's one you can probably take in the chin and move on. Is it a bigger picture then? Is it because it's happening, like, you know, Mark says, a lot, but then some of these are 5 years ago, different group of players?
Yeah, but that's exactly the point. I think that there's somebody like Mark's point making out, Gordon, that's has there been any improvement in that period of time? And obviously recent results away from home in particular. Listen, two men sent off in the first game, another man sent off, and we know that, you know, the rules are harsh these days, and you can debate whether it's right or wrong, but that's just the way, that's the era we play in just now. So therefore we've got to accept these decisions, and Mark, being a Celtic fan, thinks there has to be a change of approach. I think that sometimes we say Celtic's in a glass ceiling in Scottish football, but there's a lot of leagues. You know, as I said before, the Scandinavian leagues, you know, whether it's, you know, the various Scandinavian countries, some of the Baltic countries, there's, you know, the Dutch, you mean, they don't have a fantastic league, and they all seem to do better at times. Whereas I said, I think Celtic, you know, it's just one of those things where there's such a huge club with a magnificent fan base. I think, as I said, I'm talking personally for myself, I just think that sometimes, you know, almost bow to the tradition, and sometimes you've just got to put the tradition on the back burner, only for a few games a season, maybe three away games a season possibly.
How do you find that balance? Take the Atletico doubleheader then, right? Because I totally get Mark's logic. Just because you do something at home doesn't mean you can do it away, right? I get that. But given how good Celtic were at home to Atletico Madrid, and that game comes a fortnight later, is it a stretch to imagine any manager saying, well, you know, that was great, that was the high point of our season, that was really good, so let's do something entirely different just because it's away? I totally accept there's bound to be a tweak here or there, but is any manager ever going to depart from something that was very nearly so successful to, you know, and make it like night and day different?
I think it's quite simple. I think that you'd need to change your manager. I think managers have philosophies now in the game. Postecoglou, when he was a Celtic manager, would never change for nobody. Absolutely not. Brendan Rodgers is a top quality manager. He believes that's the way to go, that's the way to improve. Yeah, results shown it's not, but he's got to stick by his methods. The only way you could probably change, if you brought in, for instance, a young Martin O'Neill,
I think Martin O'Neill would adapt differently. I'm not even talking about your overall philosophy. I'm talking about from one
game
a fortnight later, and Everybody has said how good it was and how you nearly managed to beat Atletico Madrid. Would you do something completely different the next one?
Because I don't think nowadays games, you know, data and analysis is all done way in advance. As soon as your team is drawn and you look at the who's in your section, your analysis team will be looking at that, looking at their game. Now, if you play them at home, for talking sake, you might think, well, they play a slightly different way away from home, the opposition I'm talking about, and therefore we can play this way. At home, they're a different animal. So we then have to adapt. And I don't think Celtic adapt when they go away. I think Celtic still just play,
as Gordon says,
with the philosophy of the manager. Well, listen, for 90% of the time, it's fantastic. Yeah. But in the 10% that you're in the Champions League group stages, it's painful.
Yeah, like I said, I'm maybe not making it clear. I just mean in terms of how far you're going to go removed from it. You know,
they've not got the personality to change it completely,
that's
Gordon.
What I mean. That's what I'm getting.
You know, he can look at that first game at Celtic Park and think, I think for 45 plus minutes, I thought they were brilliant, really did. But I'm agreeing with Jim here is, you looked at that team who made a tweak at half time. Made a substitution, all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking, Celtic were brilliant first half, this is a top quality side. Griezmann was unbelievable. And I said on the Tuesday before I left this studio, the one player that I'd be really concerned about, I know it's very easy to say, is Griezmann. And he scores the first goal. I can totally understand, but I don't think he's got the personnel to go to the formations that we're all trying to get to.
I don't know how this happened. This feels like it's last Wednesday's show all of a sudden. It's just like if you'd be refreshing your podcast going, this sounds like the post-match analysis of the game against Atletico Madrid. I think it does sort of feed into the discussion we were having, and it's naturally gone down that route. Thank you to Mark on the line. Let's switch focus for a bit. We can go back to that if you so wish. Give us a call. You can let us know. Let's look back on Livingston at the weekend. Cyril Dessers says he's now feeling a lot more confident in a Rangers shirt. He says that just comes with the team playing better. Thinks it was crucial they got a win going into the break.
Obviously, the confidence is better now, but I think also it's part of the team is playing better at this moment. And as a striker, you're always a little bit dependent on the team. And if the team plays like this, then it's obviously easier for a striker as well. I'm pretty happy with the last weeks. We had some really good performances as a team. We won a lot of games, and this was a tricky game just before the international break, because if this goes wrong, you're stuck with that feeling for 2 weeks, which is rare for Rangers, because we always play like in 3 days. So we really wanted to end this well and show the manager that we listen to him and we want to keep going and to keep this momentum.
Jamie's on the line. How are you, Jamie?
Hi, I'm Brad.
Oh, he's gone. Let's try and get him back. I don't know what happened there. We were about to get on just famously, I think. I don't think one deflected goal for Cyril Dessers is going to transform his fortunes overnight, clearly, but you can only do what you do. If he says he's feeling confident, maybe the break does him a bit of good. I don't know, maybe it helps that Danilo's clearly the number one choice, so that burden's not there, and then it's about scoring on those days you do get your chance.
I think most people beat this guy with a big stick, and rightly so. He's come into the club, everybody's expecting big things. He didn't produce. Also, it's a change of manager as well. So he's getting used to Scottish football. He's already into his second manager. We're not even into January break, winter break yet. I thought at the weekend, and Jim made a good point, said, look, first and foremost, I always believe that scoring goals as a Rangers or Celtic striker wins you the fans over. Jim came out with the point, if the fans see you working your shift, working for a team, putting the effort in, they'll back you. And I think it goes hand in hand. Now, what did they last, 60 minutes or something like that at the weekend? I thought the lad did particularly well. I thought he worked his shift, he got his goal, and I liked his goal, right? And I know there's a little bit of luck, but as a striker, I liked his goal. I thought he played his part. And you hear him now, that little bit of confidence that he's maybe needing is starting to build slowly. And if you can keep him going and keep him working away, getting an odd goal here and then, working for a side, he could be a real good squad player for you, because Danilo probably is number one striker just now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Dessers for me, his movement leading up to the goal was terrific. Great pass from Tom Lawrence. You know, he plays on the shoulder, defender, goes down the side. And maybe a few weeks ago, that you know, we even, with Rangers not playing so well and stuff, but recently, when you tend to find that when the team starts playing well, you get that wee bit of good luck. Mm. And it's that, and he needed that maybe. So, it was, but as Gordon had said there, it was his work ethic. I mean, he was putting people under pressure. He had a chance earlier on when he really pressed the defender, nicked it off him, went through. You know, so I just think these are the type of things. And I think Danilo kind of set the mark for that. I think he threw the gauntlet down as if to say, well, listen, this is what I do. And this is part of the reason why the fans have taken to me. And I think Dessers, if he's got any sense at all, which I think he has done, has looked at that and thought, right, that's what I'm starting with. Mm-hmm. And then he got himself into some really good positions. You know, as I said, he was a bit unlucky not to add to his tally. But overall, I just think it's strengthening Rangers. And if Kamar Roof can get himself a bit fitter as well, then Rangers have got more options now, because, you know, that's something that they lacked under Michael Beale just before the end of his tenure.
Go on then, to explore one of the great football clichés. Does the break come at a good time or a bad time for Rangers?
Oh, a bad time for me.
Definitely.
Yeah, I know that you can go the argument about more time to work in the training. I've heard all that before. I've heard he's not got a lot of time to work in the training ground, obviously with the fixtures.
Because he did say, he made a point, said, you know, last week there've been a lot of video stuff far because they've just not had
momentum
on the grass,
to me. And then you see Dessers there, he's got one or two players that are starting to, you know, show what they're all about. They're playing with confidence. They're getting clean sheets. I just think that Jim may be different, but me,
I'm 100%
I want to keep going. I want the next game.
Yeah, you're flying. You don't want to. You're scoring goals. You're winning games. You're playing good football. The fans are on side with you. Guys that can't wheel are back fit. Lawrence is back fit. You've got a healthy squad. Guys are coming back, competing for places. You know, the brimming with confidence. You do not want any kind of break just now. You want that to continue. Sorry, Gordon, just quickly, came back a couple of seasons ago, Rangers notoriously after the winter break didn't start well. So I think that any kind of break just now will probably send a few shockwaves to some of the Rangers fans.
I totally get that sort of overall picture. I just wonder if you're, because you two have both managed, selfishly, is it any different? You know, would Philippe Clement, just himself, welcome the break?
Yeah, but listen, it's an intense period for him. He's went to a huge job. I mean, for Philippe Clement, yeah, he might just want a couple of days just to get his breath back. There's no question about
and
that.
And try and put some ideas
Yeah, that can across. Recharge a manager. I'm just talking about, we're just talking about team and supporters. But no, from the manager's perspective, and he's maybe away from his family, he's maybe got a chance to go home and all these sort of things. So, yeah, I mean, for the manager's psychological point of view as well, I think it can certainly help him and just recharge the batteries, reset himself and get ready to go again.
Because it might, I mean, Gordon, you arrive in a good place, as you say, and maybe what that does is, because he'll have seen things he can improve on for sure. It's not like he's like, oh, this is perfect. You know, he'll have loads that he can improve on. But because you've actually won games and up to that point, you've probably already got the buy-in. You know, players are already kind of trusting it. Look at this. This is good. We're all winning. Everyone's banging on about how confident you are. So if you can sort of maybe get a bit more contact time with them on the back of that, maybe it could turn out to be a beneficial period.
Yeah, because he has come out and said that a lot of his work is done by video, and he looks like sort of a manager that wants to get on the training ground, get on the grass with his players and go through a few things. He might look at an opportunity, because this subject comes up quite often now, the fitness type. You know, he might look at that, changing the pattern of the training, maybe a bit more yardages into the training routines. So yeah, but for the players, I'm talking solely for the players, I would just want the next game to come.
Gordon, the young boy McCausland, did he sign the new contract? Has it been done? No, I know they were offered. I wasn't sure whether it had been done yet. But again, that's a big thing just now, giving the young boy his chance. He's taking it, and Rangers fans will be hoping that I can go over the line.
I was going to ask about, you know, the days of video analysis when you were a manager, but I was actually,
imagine heart rate monitors, isn't
it? I've got what I think is an excellent revelation about your playing career, and I bet even you won't know this. I think I've stumbled across a great gem.
If you've got my stats, I'm impressed.
It's not even a stat.
We're running stats.
It is the fact that no one knew they needed to know, and I'm going to tell you about it after we do this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. A quadruple rollover and make me a winner. Last time out, the call went straight to voicemail, but never fear, we could make you the winner of £115,000 tomorrow when we make the next call. But you need to be in the draw. We've teamed up with our stations across the UK to bring you an eye-watering amount of money. And if you fancy it, who wouldn't? Text yes to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. And the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. And don't forget the entries since Doogie won on the 8th of November now, quite a while ago, they've all rolled over. But all the other rules for this network competition are online. So if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, which is Wednesday the 14th, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £115,000. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here. Tell you what, there is no hiding place on this live stream. Joyful has sent a tweet. I've even had a message from my own mother concerned about the studio being cold because the three of us are sitting here with his jackets. It is actually quite cold. I just kind of forgot to take this off. I don't know.
Pouring the rain outside, windy, rainy, cold, you know, but in the studio it's actually...
I've got a jacket sitting over there.
Well, that Joyful says, has the Dazzler not got a spare gilet you can borrow, given your history with gilets?
Oh, I've got plenty of them. I've got a new jacket sitting over there. I'll wear that going out.
That wee eBay purchase.
Yeah, that was my...
Are you into that?
That's my best eBay purchase. Mm-hmm. Tags on it and everything.
Tags on
it. Oh, yeah. I love the ones with the tags on it.
Right,
I'm
you.
Sitting next to some hot stuff, so I'm thinking...
He's been called many things. Yeah. Speaking of you...
Right, come on, what have you
found? I told you. Because I thought I knew everything. Everything about your career that there was to know. Because you tell us all, if you want to know anything about Gordon Dale's career,
sit next to him
for 2 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I've stumbled across something that we've never heard before.
Good or bad? Bad.
Neither. No, genuinely just... Well, certainly more good than bad. Just interesting.
Can I deny it?
This just shows the way you must live your life. There is going to be
no need for you to deny it. Just tell him, don't panic. Panicking.
Right, okay.
This is what years of having to deny things does to you.
Exactly, yeah. So, denying before it's even out there.
Craig David, it wasn't me.
Right, did you know... Someone sent me this, so we can fact check it. Yesterday, 13th of November, is Broxy Bear's 30th birthday.
Oh.
Right?
Right.
Did you know that?
No.
Of course, why would you? Right? So, Broxy Bear's 30th birthday, he was born, or he arrived at Ibrox or whatever, for the first time on the 13th of November, 1993. Right?
Right.
In a game... against Raith Rovers that you scored in.
Couldn't have been. 94 it was.
No.
Broxy's telling lies.
What do you mean? Don't kill my favourite fact.
Hold on. Against Rangers?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
So that was Broxy. So you scored on the day that Broxy was introduced.
Oh, I thought you meant the cup final.
No,
okay.
13th of November 1993, Broxy was introduced for the first time against Raith Rovers. And someone sent me a video. I think you scored in the game as well.
I did score. I did score.
I'm worried the fact, Mary, about you, Gordon. You've actually managed to find that.
Did Broxy celebrate with me being an ex-Ranger player?
I obviously didn't go looking for it, but it kind of stumbled onto my lap because I saw that.
93, yeah.
I saw that was the date yesterday, the 30th. And separately, the Rangers archives put up a video of 2-2, DL penalty, obviously. And Rangers 2K8 tagged me in it saying the Dazzler did have a wee bit of pace back in the day because you'll have missed this shout last week.
He'll kill you.
Listen, I know he tried to claim he was as quick as Martin Boyle. Now I know I've heard you were quick. You weren't as quick as Martin Boyle. Oh, I'm not having it. Not
Jim,
in a million years.
Stick up for me.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was quick. It depends on the distance you're running. If it was only going to be 20 yards, then he was definitely quick.
Out somebody's back door, probably. But
I told you. Alan Wells, gold medalist.
So it turns out that you scored.
Was it a penalty kick?
Yeah, Mark Haitley got a double for
two
Rangers.
Two breakaways.
But it was the debut of Broxy. So you're part of
Broxy's life at Ibrox.
Which has got me thinking, you are intrinsically linked to football mascots.
Yeah, the Huddle Hound.
You played golf with Hoopy the Huddle Hound, you told us. Presumably not in he's outfit.
Oh, I couldn't swing a club.
And remember, your old Air United mascot, yeah, Chaos the Panda,
Chaos
came on the show and beat the pundit. And now you scored on Broxy's debut. What is it about you and football mascots?
There you go, Jim. I've got a claim to fame.
The guy that used to do the Dundee mascot, I can't remember the name of the mascot, which is terrible. But anyway, he was a male stripper by trade.
Whoa!
Yeah. I bet you Broxy, wasn't he?
Because he took the outfit off, obviously, the costume off.
That's what strippers do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he took it off in the dressing room, and all the players just looked at him because he was absolutely ripped. He was like Magic Mike.
That's fascinating,
that, because technically, right, would you say being a mascot is like the opposite of being a stripper? Mm.
Well, I mean, you know too much about being a stripper.
Yeah, you're putting additional clothes on as opposed to taking them off.
But it was at one time, you know. Anyway, that was his job by trade.
I must admit, there was one time I was only jealous of a mascot, and I'd love to achieve this in my career. Was when McCoys went to Tynecastle.
Yeah,
was
he dressed up, didn't he?
He dressed up. I'd have loved to have done
Listen,
that.
The power of this show. We have linked you with every mascot. I think we could make that happen for you.
Do you think I could be Baby Broxby?
If there are any football clubs listening, give us a shout. Let's make it
Grander.
Happen.
Grander. Papa Bear.
How did we go from
Papa Bear or Papa
football to strippers to, honestly, this show never fails to amaze you. Sam, let's bring some sanity back to it. You're a Rangers fan. Sam, you went along to the game at the weekend, is that right?
No, I watched on the telly.
Oh, sorry, it was the Dundee game. Right, sorry, you tell your story. Don't let me try and interrupt.
Aye, so basically, my brother-in-law takes my laddie, who's six. He's a Livy fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a season ticket with his great-grandad and my brother-in-law. But anyway, so he's Livy daft, my boy, and I was never going to stop him, support his Livy, whatever. So it's just the own. So I always keep an eye on the results. I like how David Martindale speaks, blah, 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 but I'm getting a bit fed up now because my brother's on holiday, so I take his season ticket. I went along to the game, and I think Livy are in deep trouble. Eh? And the only reason I care is because my boy will be devastated. You know what I mean? But it's no. I don't think it's looking good for them. They are dire, by the way. Make no mistake. And you think I don't see any fans they play. You know, and it's just I've struggled to see where they're going. And Martindale going on about he's wanting to sell Joel Newbley, like he's trying to sell him. It's just a defeatist attitude, you know what I mean?
Mm. What do you think? I like this from Sam's a Rangers fan, but he's at Livy, need to stay up because his son won't be happy otherwise, and he's been along to some Livy games. Are they in danger?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely in trouble this season. I think, you know, if you're bottom of the league, coming towards December, then there's got to be concern. At the same token, of course, there's you know, plenty of time to turn it around, and I think January will be important for Livy. We know they're not, you know, the biggest payers, and you know they don't have the you know, they're not a huge attraction in terms of fan base and all these type of things. But you know, David can normally pull a rabbit out of hat, and I think he will again. I think he'll manage to get a couple of players in January, which will give him a bit more firepower. I still think that you know they'll be organised, they'll be disciplined. He will welcome the fight. I think his players will rise to the challenge. I'm not saying they'll get right out of it. They may well finish in the playoff position, but I don't think they'll finish bottom.
What did you make of them against your team, Rangers, then, Sam? You see, this is where we find out how harsh a parent you are. You don't care if your son's not happy that day. You want Rangers to knock Livy for six, I'm sure. What did you make of the game at the weekend?
Well, for a Rangers point of view, you know, 3 points on the board, you know, that's the main thing. In spells, you know, it's just one of these games coming up, I think it's just all going to come together and we're going to trounce a team, you know what I mean? But I like the boy in the Cosland, I think he looks sharp. I want to promise, but we just need to show it on a more consistent basis now. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself because, if I remember correctly, Van Bronckhorst got off to a good start. He seemed to get a reaction out of the players, and so did Beale. And look how that kind of turned out. So, but I think this manager, come on, he's kind of got this aura about him where he's kind of, it looks so far that he's got a respect at the players. So I think whether or not, but I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself because I've seen what happened to Van Bronckhorst. I actually thought when Van Bronckhorst was the manager, I remember we played Hearts at Tynecastle. We beat them 2-0. I think we scored two early goals. But the rest of the game, it's like they kind of sat in, and that just wouldn't have been accepted under Gerrard. I preferred the style of football that Gerrard played. But I think this is a mere forward-thinking manager than what Van Bronckhorst was. So.
Funnily enough, just on Ross McCausland, sorry Sam, since you mentioned it, he's been called up to the senior Northern Ireland squad. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that earlier on today. I think he was meant to be or was previously in the under-21s. So, you know, first Rangers start, first call-up, maybe onto a new contract. What a kind of critical period this could be, because there are never guarantees, but could be in his
development. I bet you when he answers the phone, he goes, make me a winner the way things are going for him. Exactly. He's got to win that 115 grand.
He's a Scottish Cole Palmer at this moment in time.
To be fair, I was very impressed with a lad the other night there when he came on. I thought second half, he just took the game by the scruff of the neck. He was a kind of player I looked at and thought, I'd enjoy watching you. Obviously got your start of the weekend. I thought he played particularly well. We'll not talk about the penalty incident when he went down very easily.
I think everyone agreed last night on the show that that wasn't a penalty.
Well,
so.
Jim, did you change your mind?
I thought it was a penalty at the time. To be honest, I haven't really seen much of it since then, so...
He done well to get his snorkel off before Shane McLean
went
round.
Jim is a scuba diver as well.
I know, exactly.
We learned this earlier on in the office, didn't we? Just before we go, thank you to Sam. The offers are flooding in.
For a mascot?
What if I told you that more already, I told you the power of this show, more than one Scottish Premiership club has been in touch.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Two offers so
but
far.
But I need to look good.
I have had an email, a message, from the actual... Paisley Panda, who says I can make it happen for Gordon.
Has he not got a whole family, the Paisley Panda?
Possibly.
Is there not a Mrs. Panda and a kid
and
panda
then,
and all that
if
sort
we're
of
talking
stuff.
I mean, talk about guys that can make it happen. Alan Burrows says DL at Pittodrie as Angus the Bull.
Oh, I love that.
Would you rather be a panda or a bull?
there's a bit of bull in me
both?
I'll leave that with you.
And a bit of a bull in me.
You can think it. That sounds honest.
I like a panda.
And I didn't even notice this. Apparently, Jim Duffy, you've got your early 2000s popular culture mixed up.
Yeah, no, listen, I would know that because it was Shaggy. It's Angus. I could tell you that straight away. As soon as I said it, I thought somebody's going to come up with me and
good
say,
thing is,
it's not Craig David, it's Shaggy.
I didn't even notice you make that mistake. So
yeah, but I did. As soon as I said it, I knew, but I thought somebody will tell you.
Hopefully, there are no mistakes when we play this. Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Beat the pundit time. You have until 7 o'clock to give us a call. 01419511025. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here, absolutely rocked by some of the mascot revelations at the end of the first hour. The offers are flooding in for Gordon DL to don one of the furry suits between now and the end of the season. If you want to get in touch on more serious, pressing football matters, please do. I think the Tuesday of international break tends to be an extra look back on the weekend, so you can keep them coming. You might want to look ahead to Scotland stuff, please do that as well. Would you like to see anything different in the team this week as we build up to the Euros? How good does that sound? Not said that too often. And anything else that's out there at all, why not take the chance to phone us right now? 01419511025, and we will play this first. Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Beat the pundit time. Let's meet Graham, who's in Easterhouse. How's it going, Graham?
Hi, all right, thanks. How are you?
The first question is the one that you really shouldn't get wrong. Have you ever played before?
No.
Good, so that's... Are you sure?
Aye.
There we go, right. He's got 100% record far. Yeah. What's your current form?
Oh, banging for him.
I know, but you just say that all the time.
Yeah, I am, but... I'm not Roger Hanna or Andy Halliday. How good is that, Hanna?
Got 10 last night again.
You need to start to...
It's quite sad, isn't it, really?
I wouldn't even let him on the programme. He's wasting it for everybody.
That's a bit of a stretch, quite frankly. You're still sitting at 73%.
That's not bad, Jim, is it?
73%.
But I play all the
time. If you go to that with your school, you'd be quite happy.
I play all the time. I've played about 20 odd games.
I've told you it's about percentages.
It's not really. It's easier to get 100% if you've only played once, Gordon. Work it out.
You could have 100% failure record then.
Yeah, but it's easier to get 100%.
Okay. Anyway, enough about that. That was maths with Gordon DL. Heads it will be Jim Duffy. And tails it will be Gordon DL. So let's see how we go this evening. I'm looking forward to finding out. And it is heads, it's Jim Duffy. It's not you, you're off the hook. So what we do here is give Jim some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that way he can't hear your answers. Graham, you've got 30 seconds to just fire through them, answer as many as you can. If you'd rather pass and move on, you can do that as well, okay?
Right, okay.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's the current manager of Cove Rangers?
Paul Hartley.
What year did the Scottish Top League change from 10 to 12 teams?
96.
Who's the Georgian that Rangers signed from Ajax in 2001?
Avaladze.
Leeds youngster Archie Gray is the son of which former Scotland international?
Eddie Gray.
Steve Clarke was assistant to which manager at Newcastle?
Rutila.
Lorraine Kelly famously supports which Scottish side?
Dundee United.
Patrick Roberts currently plays for which club?
Sunderland.
Okay, Jim Duffy, can you hear us?
They're easy, mate.
Yep, they're easy.
He's the worst to sit next to for us, honestly.
They're easy. There's only one that you're going to have a 50-50 with.
But see, because because you've got a revolving door of partners on a Tuesday at the moment. Everybody's complaining about your conduct.
Is that not a kind of normal statement for him? He's got a revolving door
well,
of partners.
Enough about that. But like you, you put people off. They're not interested in your predictions about whether they're easy or not. And like you kind of stare at them in a really weird
manner.
I'm
here to help. I'm on your side,
right,
Jim.
Thanks very much.
But they are easy.
30 seconds on Jim Duffy's clock, and the time starts now. Who's the manager of Cove Rangers?
Paul Hartley.
In what year did the Scottish Top League change from 10 to 12 teams?
94.
Name the Georgian that Rangers signed from Ajax in 2001.
Shota Avaladze.
Leeds youngster Archie Gray is the son of which former Scotland international?
Frank Gray.
Steve Clarke was assistant to which manager at Newcastle?
Rude Hullet.
Lorraine Kelly famously supports which
Dundee
Scottish
United.
Side? Former Celtic. When Patrick Roberts currently plays for which club?
Sunderland.
Which Scotland manager got more caps as a player? Craig Levine or Gordon Strachan?
Gordon Strachan.
Graham, have you done enough?
I'll beat.
Graham.
I don't know
what
was right and
what
was wrong.
Oh, you were right.
There wasn't much in it, let me tell
Frank
you.
Frank or Eddie's here.
Wasn't much in it.
Yeah, that was it. But I think, I thought
Frank
he was still cool. I thought so. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on.
Okay. Who's the manager of Cove? Paul Hartley. Both got it. The top flight changed from 10 to 12 in 2000. None of you got it. Shota Avaladze.
Both got it.
Both got it.
This is good. Told you it was easy. Two of them they're not even good, they two.
None of you
got
this. It's Andy Gray. Not that Andy Gray. The other Andy Gray.
Oh.
It is.
So it's Frank's granddad.
Yes, he's the grandson of Frank Gray and the nephew of Eddie Gray. Now, listen, men in their latter years are still, from what I'm led to believe, more than capable. But bearing in mind, right, Archie Gray's 17, okay? So Archie Gray's 17.
Frank's about 70.
And Frank is 69, right? But again, I don't judge. It's possible.
I'm not giving up.
But just in terms of a likelihood, it is Andy Gray, sorry. So none of you got it. Steve Clarke was assistant to which manager at Newcastle? Rude Hullet. You both got it.
This is a good game.
Lorraine Kelly famously supports Dundee United.
Tell me.
Both got it.
Oh, good, Graham.
So we're level still, aren't we?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Roberts currently plays for Sunderland.
Both got it. This is good. This is end to end.
Here's the thing, Graham.
Oh, no.
That was your last question, wasn't it?
Aye.
So you need him to get this wrong.
What was it?
Who got more Scotland caps?
Oh, a 50-50 job.
Who got more Scotland caps as a player? Craig Levine or Gordon Strachan?
Yeah,
do you know the thing is, the producers sometimes are sneaky with this. It's not even close. It's Gordon Strachan by a mile, Graham. It's not often, Graham, you come on this show, get a five and don't win. So please try again. That was a great effort.
Aye, Right, no bother.
Good effort, Graham.
Thanks, Graham.
Unbelievable.
Right, what a 6-5. Fella. Told you they were easy.
And I'm led to believe.
How did you not get flipped? Grey, Andy Grey.
It was the quiz equivalent of Man City and Chelsea.
Exactly. I'm led to believe you. That's four in a row for you on Beat the Pundit. We keep all these records. So
well done, Jim.
There we go.
But you get the easy ones to be honest with you. They weren't.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know.
You should be going for a 10
tonight. Answer what's in front of you.
I actually can't remember Andy Gray, other than the Andy Gray, of course.
I'll
tell you who played with Crystal Palace.
Wolves.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
I've got a vague recollection, but playing at Leeds, I don't know. Anyway.
Producer John will tell us, did he play for Falkirk? Mm-hmm. Have I completely made that
up? There was an Andy Gray played there.
Well, it's producer John, he's played for Falkirk.
I had a long throw.
No, different. That's a different Andy Gray again.
I see. There's tons of Andy Grays going around.
So this one, the one that's played for no clubs up here actually. So you're right though. Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. Not Crystal Palace either. No. See, that's the Falkirk one.
You're all over the place here.
That's the Falkirk one.
This one played
for Barnsley, Charlton, Bradford, Sheffield United. Started at Leeds. Two Scotland caps.
Or the kind of Yorkshire clubs.
Yeah,
you should know that. Two Scotland caps. You go to other games.
It's one. It's one that just kind of completely. Listen, as Gordon says,
but you won, mate.
Maybe common sense of looking at the ages. But listen, Robert De Niro. We're I think bound. He just had his baby son there. I think he's well in his 70s.
Don't judge. Absolutely, don't judge.
To my baby shower next year.
Stop it, honestly. That's too weird. It is. You know we like a laugh.
Is it going to be a baby panda or a baby bull?
It's just too weird. Right? Can we not? Can we seriously not? I mean, the panda has elaborated. If he wants to be Paisley Panda at halftime, I will arrange it. He can be part of our halftime competition. Bung a ball, apparently, whatever that means.
Oh, I'm telling you, before the end of the season, I'm in one
I
of
think
the costumes.
You'd be sensational at it. I think you'd have all the moves.
You know, I will be in like, there.
I can believe it. Yeah.
I'm not saying where I'm going, right? Because no. I don't want people. I want to be like the Masked Singer. Aye. I want to go out there and they're going, who's that? You with my moves.
You found your calling.
Justin Beaver's turned up.
Justin who?
Timberley.
Beaver?
Is that a mascot? Justin Beaver. Justin Beaver's a mascot.
What's his name then?
Bieber.
Bieber.
All right.
Oh my goodness.
Justin Beaver.
Right, exactly. I was getting excited there.
Well seen, that was the mistake you would make.
Eight
seconds
delay, quick, cut
that
off.
That's a tribute act. Justin Bieber.
I knew it was somebody like that.
Is that not the stripper that used to be in the Dundee?
As I say, it's a tribute act. But listen, I've just got a vision now. It's just like he's lost the plot. I think we should. That could be his own individual mask outfit. We could have Gordon the Radio Clyde mascot is now Justin Bieber.
So good. Can you not? How can you not know it's Bieber?
He's a bit young. I don't know. I thought it was Justin Bieber.
Jeez, this is painful. Honestly, you know, that question, Jim. That's your sliding door. That could have been you. That was Rude Hullet's assistant.
I could have been. I wouldn't know because he played with Stevie, obviously. But you know, we've had this kind of discussion before. Once he left Newcastle, he came back and took my job when I left Chelsea. Not straight away. He was there doing a bit of scouting and then I moved on. But it was my choice to move on. I wasn't sacked.
I know, but it's because we've all got the benefit of hindsight.
Once you leave Chelsea
just before Abramovich money comes in.
Yeah, Abramovich. Well, they don't get banged. They weren't skinting when I was there. But Abramovich came in and then Mourinho came in and then he had I'm led to believe maybe knew Stevie from the Largs thing.
So you
I'm
went
not
to,
100%
where did you go? Norwich.
I went to Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, sorry. Just before Abramovich arrived.
I think in that summer, possibly. He came, I left Portsmouth in January, somewhere about that.
Portsmouth is lovely, but I mean.
Great shopping mall.
I loved it.
For Christmas.
Abramovich's bank balance is lovely as well, though.
Yeah, and then obviously Stevie's now in Manchester, Scotland, and I'm unemployed.
You're not. You're here with us, and we're glad of it.
And you've just won Beat the Pundit.
Yeah, and I'm sitting next to Justin Bieber.
Oh, honestly. Right, okay. 01419511025. Kind of hard to follow that, but Brian is going to have to give it a go. Take it away, Brian.
How's it going, guys? You okay?
Good, you?
Aye, not too bad. I was just listening to Jim and Gordon earlier talking about Celtic in Europe and maybe being a bit more pragmatic and stuff. I just think, from my lifetime, when I used to go to the games and stuff and used to watch Celtic, like, especially when Gordon Strachan was in charge, Celtic used to always play with kind of two holding midfielders, whether it be Neil Lennon or Evander Snow, or later on they brought in like Scott Brown and stuff. And I just look at the Celtic team now, and really good football they're playing stuff. I just think they're really lightweight, especially in the middle of the park. They've got such good technical players like Atati and O'Reilly and stuff, but for me, what they're needing is a bit more bite. And then on top of that, I think one of the main things Celtic's missing as well is a bit of height. But going back and watching kind of previous games and stuff, Celtic, when they always got results against the kind of bigger teams, they always had a bit of height in their team. Just off the top of my head, Chris Julian against Lazio, Samaras on numerous occasions against Sparta at Moscow away and stuff like that. And I just think that's the kind of two main things Celtic's missing at the minute. It's a bit of height and a bit of kind of technique, a bit of dig in the midfield. And I just like to know what the guys think about that.
Yeah, just in case anyone's just joining us, it sort of came up earlier because we're talking about, you know, Celtic beating Aberdeen convincingly, and Matt Riley was saying hopefully take some of that clinical edge into Europe, and we sort of reverted back to those conversations about obviously the difference between trying to do it in Europe versus the Premiership. What do you think of Brian's suggestions?
I think it's a really good suggestion. I think if you go 4-2-3-1, you've still got enough forward players on the pitch, but you've got two defensive-minded players. I've said this before on the programme, I don't think Celtic are cynical enough when it comes to Europe. I think sometimes you've got to break the play up, you've got to break the rhythm up of the opposition, you've got to give away, you know, bumps and nudges and give free kicks away in areas where the opposition don't get into that flow that Celtic do domestically. And just be a little bit more streetwise. Again, I can take Brian's point of being, you know, having maybe an out ball at times if you're wanting somebody to hold it up, rather than always the technical. Celtic had to be playing well for somebody like Kyogo to go and express himself. They have to be dominating the ball. Whereas if you've got an option of a more physical presence up front, it can give you, if you get back to Hearts and Sutton, as you said, Samaras, Neil Lennon in the middle of the pitch, and you know, again, there are, it doesn't sacrifice good players and good and technical players. You can still, you're not looking for hammer throws, you can still play when you get the ball, but you can have a different quality, and your first quality is maybe a defensive knowledge, or you know, a sense of danger, how to break the play up, see the opposition, and then you know, stop that first, and then you can still play with it. Whereas We've said this before, Celtic go there and, you know, whether it was Bernardo, before that Hatate, where Turnbull, O'Reilly, McGregor, they're all technical, very good footballers. But if you're playing against the top teams, you're not always getting the ball and you're doing a lot of running, a lot of chasing. And I agree with Brian, I think that you can just add that type of player into it, it gives you more of a chance. It doesn't guarantee you, but I think it gives you more of a chance.
How difficult though is, we've said this before, you know, without banging on about budgets and player trading models and buy low, sell high, I feel like Celtic have actually tried and got it. Probably it's maybe the one area of the pitch that they've got nowhere near. I'm going to throw names at you that you'll think, oh, remember Oliver Abelgaard, and he arrived and people went, ooh, maybe you know, 6 foot four holding midfielder, maybe he's the one perfectly suited to these games. Ismail Assoro, you know, the way he gets about, maybe he's the one that can go and rat around in there and break things up.
James McCarthy,
obviously. Kwon, as an example, where is Kwon? Clearly not
well,
ready for that.
Well, was brought in for that as well, wasn't he?
I think we can get carried away with this because
we've tried.
Yeah.
So is that show you that unless you can go and identify this ready-made guy that probably is not happening, is that a difficult area of the pitch to get that right then? Somebody that does the defensive side but is good enough on the ball to play the way you want to?
Yeah, it's a very hard skill. It's like a striker that scores goals. It's just natural for someone to go and play that. But my idea of this, looking at it, You think because, as Jim says, yeah, I think a lot of Celtic fans and a lot of pundits, including myself and Mark that played with Celtic, we've looked at it and think, is it better maybe sitting with two, sitting midfield players, protect the back men? Doesn't it guarantee you're going to get anything out of the game? I remember Brendan Rodgers and his first time come in for a bit of stick, be a bit more negative away from home, sit deep, put five defenders in there.
Did it at the New Camp in Ship 7.
Ship 7. So, and okay, the argument there is Barcelona. But you can go there with that sort of a different mindset. But it's not really, unless you've got the quality players that you said there, it's not really got to guarantee anything.
Right, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you to Brian. Now it is that time of the year. Cash for Kids Mission Christmas is back.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Now, I can't believe how quickly this comes around every year. And we know that, you know, every Christmas can be a particularly difficult time for a lot of local families, and maybe even more so this year. The cost of living crisis, it's making things worse for everybody. I think everybody feels it to a point. So just imagine families who are already in or close to the poverty line, an unbelievably difficult time. So what hopefully we can all do is get together, try and make a difference this year by supporting Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. Now, to hear the examples of what your money can do and the difference it makes, let's hear a bit from Grace from the Julie Peace Club in Castlemilk. They're a group that works with schools. They offer play and activity sessions to children in poverty. And she tells us a little bit about a family that she's been working with.
We had a family. We managed to get a fund that enabled us to buy winter jackets. The staff called them up to say, do you want to come to the Julie and collect it? And there was a pause. And then she said, well, I can't actually come down because I've just washed the only jackets we have. They're wet. It's a reality check for us when we get stories, you know, when we see the parents totally distraught.
Doesn't bear thinking about, really, for lots of us. In some parts of Glasgow in the West, as many as one in two children live in poverty. The statistic quite alarming. We can't always make it this big magical day, but with your help, we can make it just a bit different for thousands of kids that are right here on our doorstep. We guarantee every penny, 100% of the funds raised, goes straight back to families that need it. It makes such a difference. So if you want to find out more, you can go to Clyde1.com/mission, and that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here on the usual number, and please do give us a call, 0141 951 1025, or we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. It is that time of the night though, so let's give these two some questions to get their teeth into.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Okay, topical, time-wise. And it's been sent genuinely by this contributor, gets in touch from time to time. Sent in by someone called Gordon DL's Unusually Large Nose.
Was it?
Yeah, so it's like some sort of parody account of yours. And by the way, lots and lots
could be
of,
more Gordon DL's out there.
Lots of Justin Bieber content love. Making its way to me. Roger,
love out
Roger
there.
Hannah has sent me a picture of a beaver with Justin Bieber's face on it. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Why?
Saying nothing.
Yeah, probably for the best. Sean has sent me the same picture. Maybe it's you know, it must be the first thing together. That comes up when you Google it. I don't know. Let's just I move on. I think
give
probably for the best. Can you name the last 8 defenders to score for Scotland's national team? So obviously it is international break. See what we've done there.
Henry.
So I'll just recap one more time. Very simple. Can you name the last 8 defenders to score for the Scotland national team? Jack Hendry. Can you remember the opponent? You don't need it.
You're a big Scotland. You go to every game.
You would have been at this one, I think. No, it was a Nations League game at Hampden against Ireland.
Ireland. Remember? Ryan Portis.
Yes. against Cyprus. That was the most recent.
Keep going,
one
Jim.
On the list.
You're good at this.
Defenders.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be central defenders. Andy Robertson.
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it there. Oh no, he's not. No, tell a lie. I thought
is
he was.
Not?
No,
he did apologies. Score. I don't know if it might be. Maybe not in the last eight.
Yeah, he's not in the last eight. I don't think.
McTominay when he's played defender.
I know that's the problem with questions like this. Nah, he's not on it.
No.
Okay.
I think he only started scoring when he moved up the pitch. So.
Okay. Okay.
And he's
okay,
not
okay.
a defender by trade, is he? I know he played there, but there we go. No. All right, listen, we'll get back to it. No rush. No rush.
Hang.
Who?
I was going to say Hanley.
What did you say there?
I was going to say Hanley.
Have a bit of courage, your convictions, man. Don't be put off by the whole no. Beaver episode.
No, it's not.
It is.
Grant Hanley, yeah. There you go.
Austria, 2021. Was that a big hit? Oh, well, it would be a header. Was that about Stephen O'Donnell free kick from deep?
No
I think,
idea,
something
but
like that.
I'll just
nah, you don't, do you? Right, okay, we'll leave it there. And if you want to send a question in, it's fulltime@Clyde1.com, which takes us on nicely. Let's hear from the Scotland camp. They've gone for warm weather training in Turkey ahead of the Georgia game. Apparently it is raining. I think it might have hopefully brightened up for them to serve its purpose. Let's hear from John Carver, Scotland coach. Despite already qualifying, he says it's got a massive importance, these final two games. Wants to end, of course, that three-game losing streak.
Yeah, the desire is there because, like you say, we've lost three games in a row against top-quality opposition, against three of the top 10 sides in Europe. So it's been a great learning curve, but it's like everything else. You want to get back to winning ways because it's all about your preparation and about the seeding for the future. So we have to now press the reset button. We need to go again, and we need to come out of this game. And, you know, it's great being in the position that we're in. The Euros is now in the future. We have to attack the situation now, and that is by getting 6 points in the next two games and making sure that, and just in case Spain slip up in their last game. So it's important we're ready to take advantage of that.
Surely it's going to be easy to maintain the level of, you know, motivation, whatever, because they're playing for Euros places. That, you know, and obviously, of course, if Spain do slip up, it's unlikely. You want to try and take advantage, win the group. But even aside from all that, I mean, why would you not be just fully focused on securing your spot at the Euros?
Yeah, I mean, you want to put down a marker for the manager. We've said that Stevie Clark's quite loyal, and, you know, I don't think there'll be too many changes come the squad in the summer. Someone might force herself through in their way in, or you might have an injury, so you've got to be ready. But these are the type of games where you know, have the jersey and you don't want to give any opportunity for someone else to take it. Obviously, we qualified the last time, but it's not a regular occurrence for us to qualify for major tournaments. And for players, they want to enhance their reputation playing against the very best. So they want to be in that tournament. So this is the perfect opportunity to say to Stevie Clark, listen, we have the attitude, we have the mentality, and we have the quality to win these type of games, and we want to be in your squad.
Plus the fact we just can't keep, as much as we're qualified, as much as we've got a bit of luxury to try one or two things, we can't just keep losing games because the nation's in a high because of the way we're playing, winning games. Yes, we've lost three in a bounce, but as you quite rightly said there, I liked his interview. I thought it was very positive, saying, look, we have had a learning curve, which is brilliant if you can take that on to the next step. And I think this group of players can take that on to the next step. But I do believe, agree with him, get back to winning ways as quickly as you can.
It was interesting, there was just one line from John Carver. I was on that press conference yesterday via Zoom, obviously, where he said, you know, we will try one or two things with a view to, you know, kind of taking us to the next level. Do you wonder what that is?
Well, again, you
within
know,
our squad,
well, Andy Robertson missing, Kieran Tierney missing for a start. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and also Aaron Hickey missing. So he can play right back or left back.
Yep.
So there's going to have to be changes there. Patterson, you would think, would maybe come in the right-hand side, but in the left-hand side, do you change it? Do you go to a four? Do you stick with the three that's been so successful? McTominay's been playing that advanced role, supporting the striker. Does that get changed a little bit because the full-backs, does he have wingers available to him? So I think he might in at least one of the games change to a four, because he knows that perhaps against certain opposition in the Euros, he may well have to adapt to that, whether it's from the start of the games or during games. So I think he'll tweak the formations. I think one game he'll play three at the back, and another game I think he'll play four at the back. And also the goalkeepers, you know, with Angus Gunn missing as well. It looks like Liam Kelly and Xander Clark might play a game each.
Well, let's hear from Liam Cooper. He says Scotland didn't do themselves justice at the last Euros, and that's the bit that's spurring them on to do better next year.
I think as professionals, I think we sort of put that expectation ourselves immediately after the last Euros. I don't think we did ourselves justice in that tournament. Obviously, it was a lot of our lads' first taste, including myself, of major football. And we, straight after that, we agreed to ourselves, and in private conversations I've had, that we didn't really do ourselves justice. So there's we've got a lot of people to, and ourselves to go prove to that we belong there, and we can get through the group stages. We've got an honest bunch of lads on his staff, and we held ourselves accountable, and we want to satisfied with the way we performed, and we want to go, and obviously we've done well in the group stage now. Like you say, with two games to spare is amazing, but it can't stop there. To improve and to be even more successful, we've got to go and do ourselves justice at the Euros.
William is on the line with a question. Take it away, William.
Hello, good evening, guys. How are you doing? Are you
good,
all right?
Thank you. Good.
It's just about the Scotland team there. I looked at it yesterday and I realised that Turnbull wasn't in it, and I thought to myself, what a great opportunity it would have been for Turnbull to, you're saying, the guys are going to try a few different things. And I was just wanting to ask Jim and obviously Gordon there, why do you think Turnbull's been excluded for this squad? You know, and I can understand why he still wants to go for top spot and things like that, but when you're speaking there, I think it's a perfect opportunity for Turnbull to come into the team and maybe show what he's got. You know, I thought he could maybe play as a 10 or maybe play just as in the three with Robertson, obviously, not being out, and Robertson and Tierney being out on that left-hand side, you know. So just to ask Jim what he thinks, why do you think he's been excluded? And I give you my reasons why I think he's been excluded, but I don't understand. As I say, I thought it was a good opportunity for maybe Turnbull to get a chance for these two games, you know?
Well, I must admit, I'm a wee bit surprised as well, William, like yourself, he wasn't included. But I can also get, you know, you've got to look at the balance of the squad. And the one area that Scotland are very strong in is the midfield. You know, whether it's Callum McGregor, McTominay, McGinn, Billy Gilmore, you know, Stuart Armstrong. There are so many players in there.
Lewis Ferguson,
yeah, that you know, that were very, very strong and covered. We can cover all aspects, whether it's players who can go and threaten in the front area, or where it's players that can control and sit and demand the ball. And I think it's just really that's the main reason for me that David Turnbull hasn't been included in this particular occasion. I think he's a terrific player. He's you know, obviously recently with Celtic, he was left out at the weekend, but he comes in, he's scored, I think, what, has he scored four goals in his last three games, something like that, for Celtic?
Joint top scorer in
the league. Yeah, six goals, I think, already, and not played as many minutes as he would have liked. But I just think it's an area where Scotland are so strong, and that's the single reason, I think, why he's been left.
I think
I get
you're
your
right,
point,
Jim,
about trying to maybe look at something different. But Stevie Clarke is not going to just, you know, throw everything, you know, to the side just to try something for this game.
Just quickly, worth bearing in mind, it's not like he's not been in
the Celtic
previous squads, like the last couple of squads. And although we said try something different, I think clearly that's within the group that's there. I mean, there's nobody really. Well, nobody tends to get called up if they've not been in the kind of recent squads.
We're top heavy in the middle of the park. We've got some terrific players. Jim's right there about the strength that we've got in there. Guys like Lewis Ferguson will be sitting there chapping at the bit, hoping for an opportunity as well, doing brilliantly over in Italy. I'm a Turnbull fan. I think David will need to just concentrate just now. He's doing all the right things for me. I sing his praises on this show every time someone comes on and gives him a bit of criticism. He just needs to keep working away, keep his head down, and force himself into that Celtic team as a regular.
What do you think, William? You understand the response?
I understand there's good players and they all offer different different things. You know, I think Turnbull offers something different as well. You know, I think he can play that pass, you know, between the defence that can open up packed defences. I think if you're looking at maybe maybe off the ball, he's not as good as maybe your Fergusons and your guys like that are on that are trying to get into the team as well, you know. But I just think if each individual does offer something different, and I think Turnbull would offer you that. You know, I don't know whether Clark is thinking to himself, well, maybe he doesn't work hard enough off the ball or something like that, and that's why he's been excluded. But I just think that, and I'm not saying I think Turnbull's a luxury. What I'm saying is it's probably something that he needs to work on, you know. But I just think that Turnbull could offer Scotland something going forward and something different in that forward area.
The thing is, Jim, there is actually not that much scope to get into this Euro squad. There is not that many camps before then. Mm. We know Steve Clarke is extremely loyal, and I think clearly he's been justified in that when you look at his track record. It's only 23 that gets named in the Euro squad. If you look at the squad currently,
and three of them will be goalkeepers.
For sure. Right now, obviously, in the team that's going to play Georgia, as you said, I mean, nailed on beyond all conceivable doubts, Kieran Tierney, Andy Robertson, and Aaron Hickey, you would have to say.
Yep.
And probably Shea Adams, although he's dropped out this one, Lauren Shanklin comes in. There's been this assumption, I think, for a lot of people that somehow, at some point, somewhere, Ben Doak will go to the Euros. Mm. Maybe he will. But, you know, the opportunities and even just the numerical side of things, it doesn't leave a great deal of wriggle room.
No, I mean, the only areas that you might think it could be in the front area, you know, as you mentioned, I think that the defence is, you know, in the goalkeeping situations, I don't think it'll change much. The midfield, as we mentioned, is so strong. That is our strongest area. So maybe in the front area, like a Ben Doak, maybe a Lorne Shanklin, a natural goal scorer. To me, these are the only areas that are open to debate. Everything else will be nailed on. And, you know, Steve, you just have to look at Stevie Clark's squads and how he trusts his player, not just in terms of, you know, on the pitch, but how they work together off the pitch. You know, he's got this real club team, you know, spirit, and that's evident all the time. He's not going to disrupt that by pulling half a dozen players in out the blue. That is going to maintain. That's going to be his big strength. So to me, one or two players might, if they really come to the fore and they're with the forward areas, and that maybe give us just that wee option that we might need in one or two games.
Can't disagree with that. I think if you are looking, you're looking at the forward areas, I think Jim's nailed it, because he's going to stick by the players that's got him the success. They're a good group of players. They work hard. They always get recognised from this bonding together and how close they are. So he's not going to disrupt that leading into a major tournament. There will be, I always find, there will be, as you call it, wriggle room, Gordon, there, maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. So the guys in the outside just now, like say maybe Turnbulls or Doak or whoever it may be, it might just be a lifeline to get their cell in there. There's still a lot of games and a lot of time before the Euros.
And of course,
sadly for someone will probably get injured. That's just the way football is. You rarely have every single player fit. Invariably, somebody misses out, sadly, for that player, and that opens the door for a player to be. But he's got to be ready and available and, you know, good enough to come in and do that job.
Okay, thank you to William. Let's see how you're doing on this teaser. Can you name the last eight defenders to score for Scotland's men's team? Porteous, Hendry and Hanley.
Scott McKenna
against Armenia,
McKenna.
And Tierney against Poland, yes. Three to get, we'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dale's so chuffed with himself because he thinks he's got one on the full-time teaser. We're asking for the last eight defenders who've scored for Scotland men's team. Ryan Porteous, Jack Hendry, Scott McKenna, Kieran Tierney and Grant Hanley.
You know I've got it.
Go for it.
Declan Gallagher. That was wrong. Charlie Mulgrew.
Is that the one you're really chuffed about?
Charlie Mulgrew.
He's not on the list either. Honestly.
Oh, you done me.
Producers, can we release the way film during the breaks? He was giving it. I've worked with him too long. I can tell that's right. I can see it in his face. Not so smug now, are you? Because he's not. I have done you again.
You have. Well done to you.
John Sutter.
Yes, against Denmark. Remember that? What a night that was. Brilliant. Okay, two to get. We'll try and get them before the end of the show. Ah, they say it cut the camera cuts when the mics go down at the break for legal reasons, apparently.
I'm glad of that.
I don't know if that's the truth or not, but there we are. So yeah, it is a big international week. We're of course not fully into that yet. We're looking back on some of the talking points from the weekend that's just passed. Also, there's still time for you to squeeze a call in. I mean, we'll need to be quick, I must say. We really will. But you could try it if you've got something burning that you want to get off your chest. You know, something that I would really like to play and almost end the show on, like, the most important point, something that really puts everything into perspective. Let's hear a bit from St Johnstone's Graham Carey, just because of how important and powerful this stuff is. So he basically wants to thank the wider footballing community for all their support. It was revealed, of course, that his wife is battling cancer for a fourth time. He says it's taken its toll on the whole family, and he felt it was maybe written in the stars that he scored at the weekend.
Physically, it's been a bit draining. I think when you're playing in the game, you can kind of switch off and focus on your job, but a half-time and a full-time in the games this week has been tough. But, I mean, I've said all season, we have a great group in that dressing room, and they've really shown their support this week, and it means a lot.
I just don't know if I've ever been as delighted for a St Johnstone player to score as I was at the weekend, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's heart-wrenching to hear Graham speaking. You can hear the emotion in his voice. And he was thanking, you know, the kind of football fraternity, really, for all the support, not just the St Johnstone, but I think many, many fans around the country. And it does put things in perspective. I know that this is a very emotive programme, and, you know, people phone up and, they, as you say, get the stuff off their chest. But when you put a situation like Graham's, into the mix, then you realise it is only a game, and there's much more important things in life. And all we can say is we wish Graham and his family and his wife, all the luck in the world, and hopefully she makes a full recovery.
I mean, that's the thing, Gordon. In that context, even scoring's not important, but obviously it was just that's a nice moment, and clearly it was a good chance for him to, sort of give his thanks for all the support and so on. And well, I'm sure it's...
You've got to say, all football united with him at the weekend. You're right, Gordon. Absolutely delighted for a lad. It takes some strength to go out there and still do your job and perform to that level. And as Jim quite rightly says, and everybody, we wish him and his wife all the very, very best.
And interesting times at St Johnstone as well, going for the old experienced head at a time when lots of clubs were maybe, promoting from within or going for young managers. St Johnstone have done that though previously a lot, so they couldn't really promote from within again. Yeah. They sort of used all those options up. So break come at a good time or a bad time down the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously it's difficult for young managers because invariably if things turn, you don't get the opportunity to try and learn from that experience and what you lose your job too quickly. And Craig's come in and that sort of went for the wealth of knowledge here. He's brought in Andy Kirk, who he had working with him at Brechin. I think Nicky Clapp being injured now will be a huge blow for him. I think he scored three goals in two games. They've picked up a number of points. They got himself off the bottom of the league. But he's going to be injured and they don't score. They don't have a real regular scorer other than Nicky Clapp. I think that was a big problem for Stephen McLean. He wasn't involved there as well. It's a test, and it's interesting getting new managers come in like Craig. Obviously, in the Championship, you had big Duncan Ferguson, who's made a very positive impact up at Inverness. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe there's a hope for me and Daz yet, because experience seems to be telling at this moment
in
time.
And quickly, a good debate about Rangers. You can see both sides for your team, Motherwell, Brake come at an unbelievably good time. My logic's simple. They can't ruin your weekend if they don't play.
No, but my big worry is there'll need to be a lot of work done, because you look at the international break and you think, right, okay, we've got a couple of weeks, get everything sorted out, look forward to the next game. You look at the fixture list, you're at Celtic Park. So it's got to be a difficult one. We're in real trouble, but the only good thing is you look at teams round about you, Livingston, Ross County, losing game after game. you look at Motherwell sitting there, what, two wins, you're back up the top six. So
Aberdeen are still there.
Yeah.
Okay, right, what are we going for then? You've got two more to get. The last eight defenders who've scored for Scotland men's team: Porteous, Hendry, McKenna, Tierney, Souter, Hanley.
I think Daz has come up.
I don't know, I'm just going for a guess. Stephen O'Donnell?
No, but two guys that play in his position.
Nathan Parson?
Yep. Moldova, remember? Yeah. Away. And the other one who is in the squad, I think, is one, yeah, one that's been called up as a result of those absentees. Same position.
Right wing back.
His goal came against Armenia, if it matters. I think, was that his debut as well? I'm not sure, but it was.
Who is it?
Celtic.
Ralston.
Anthony Ralston.
Anthony Ralston. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. We are back tomorrow. Looking forward to joining you from 6 o'clock when we build up to the Scotland games, and I'm sure there'll be something domestic football related for us to get our teeth into. Remember, you can catch up on the show wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch it back now if you want to see Gordon DL's Justin Bieber gaff in all its glory. YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. I'm definitely going to stop talking about that forever. Stay right there. Amber is in for Callum next.